Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and also Sunbury Motors, Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and we are powered on the phone line by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. I'd love to hear from you. After the great Phillies news, fans should be thrilled.
It was exciting last night.
Phillies did not lose last night.
Nope.
And everything's exciting. Fans are now saying that was brutal.
But true.
Brutal.
Well, we'll see what really happens now. If things are going to turn around, as we had talked about, by the end of June and the All-Star break, and when it's time to decide if you're going to be a buyer or a seller, it's going to have to start right now with this Minnesota series.
Well, Chase Utley is back no later than July 2nd.
Yeah, he's been playing a little bit in single-A ball and hasn't looked too bad there
But my understanding is it's no later than July 2nd he's back.
I don't know. I didn't see him set a date, so I'll go with you on that. I didn't realize they did that.
Just hang with me. I'll just stay on board.
Okay. And by the way, we do have a special news alert to pass along, Steve, if I could break in real quick. A portion of Route 147 remaining closed after a fatal crash in West Chillisquaque Township of south of Montandon. A detour uses Route 45 and Route 405. Again, that's a portion of Route 147 remaining closed after a fatal crash in West Chillisquaque Township south of Montandon. The detour is Route 45 and Route 405, so expect some delays headed home that direction.
All right. Oh, fatal accident. All right. Well, please find an alternate route from that area at 147, and we will keep you updated on any changes. And, of course, Sarah will have more on that at the bottom of the hour. We've talked a lot about the Phillies. By the way, of course, the Stanley Cup was won by the Kings last night. We talked about that in the opening hour. We talked with Gabe Sinekopi in the opening hour about Williams Cross Cutters baseball, and we talked about the Phillies. We are getting close to the point where we're going to be talking about NFL training camps. Of course, yesterday we had an extensive Penn State football conversation. We had Bill O'Brien on the show yesterday, along with Jordan Steranko, the Pirates prospect. But we are also getting to a point as we head into the summer months where football talk is going to become more and more prominent. And the NBA Finals do start tonight. The NBA does not come up often on this show, but there are some things that I think that I'd like to talk about for a moment, and when it deals with the NBA, and that is the coverage of the NBA. I prefer college basketball to pro basketball, and I think actually the fundamentals are probably better in college basketball than the pros, even though the pros have better athletes. But I'll tell you, the part that bothers me is that the way the NBA is covered on television now, and yes, this is not the fault, by the way, of the play-by-play guys. Mike Breen is great and just does games, and he's fabulous. I think Jeff Van Gundy does a very good job. You know, same thing with Kevin Harlan. I think Reggie Miller's not that bad. I think when you look at Marv Albert, Steve Kerr, I think he's really good.
Yes.
You know, Mike Tirico does a great job. I mean, they just do the game. It's the commentary in the game between ESPN radio commentary in particular and some of the studio commentary where it is so individual oriented about whose team it is, this, that, this is LeBron's team. No, it's actually, it's Miami's. If, to be honest with you, I mean, the fans buy the tickets. It's actually their team. Or it's Wade's team, or it's Durant's team, or, you know. Enough of that. And also the fact that they live so much in the moment in an attempt to promote. And I will take you back to the signings of LeBron and Bosch to go with Wade. And how often have we heard that from the four-letter network that this is the best threesome in basketball ever, right?
Again. They just say it again and again and again.
Right, over and over. I can name for you off the top of my head combinations of three players on the same team that are better than this than these three.
And they have the rings to prove it?
And well, in part, yeah, yeah. In part, yes, but I can do it, all right? I mean, I would rather have Magic, Worthy, and Kareem.
Sure.
I would rather have Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman.
That was the first three that came to my head.
I would rather have Bob Cousy, John Havlicek, and Bill Russell. I would rather have Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, and Elgin Baylor. I'd rather have, in their prime, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili. I mean, how many did I just name that I just think off the top of my head are a better combo of three players? Oh, and the other one, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Dennis Johnson. I know it's always been Bird, McHale, Parrish, but I want a garden there. And DJ is a champion. DJ has three rings in his career. Dennis Johnson, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale. They're all better. They're all better than these three guys. And I'm not putting down these three guys, but you have to have a sense of history when you are talking about something. You have to have a sense of perspective when talking about something. You can't just lump three guys together and go, wow, look, they all dunk. Wow, hey, great, they must be the best ever. No, nah, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And when you look, I'll give you an example. Let's take the three that are furthest back in this lineage I talked about, all right? And that would be the 64 Celtics. Russell, Havlicek, Cousy. Well, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh are far away. Oh, really? Really. Cousy was a great little athlete. And that ball was like a yo-yo on a string. And he controlled the tempo of everything. Russell, mobile, athletic, shot blocker, rebounder, team player, didn't care about how many points he scored. Right? He'd grab 20 to 30 rebounds. He wasn't just like, hey, he averages 11 rebounds a game. No, he'd grab 20 to 30. Okay. Oh, and by the way, in Bill Russell's career, just in case you're wondering, he played 21 do-or-die games in his career. 21 between the NCAA tournament, the Olympics, and his NBA career. You want to know what his record was in those 21 games? You want to know? 21-0. And Havlicek was a great defender, fabulous shooter, and did so many other things. We've lost perspective because people who are giving us information are only think that the history of the game started in 1998. You just can't have that anymore. That's why I've always felt I was very fortunate to live in the era I've lived in. I saw Russell Chamberlain, those guys. I saw Bobby Orr. I saw Bart Starr and Johnny Unitas. Okay? I saw Mays and Aaron and so forth. There's more of a perspective. There's more of a perspective that you can sit back and say, oh, this is the great. No, you can't just be in the moment all the time. And you can't keep telling everybody it's the greatest thing they've ever seen.
How about these three? Clyde Frazier, Earl Monroe, Willis Reed.
Yeah, I love the three as well. I think, you know, and then you add in DeBuscher and you add in Bradley and, you know. You add in that and when you add in those guys, you know, Dick Barnett and Jerry Lucas.
Did you have Moses Malone, Julius Erving, and Mo Cheeks?
No. Erving and Malone were a great combo. Cheeks was really good. Bobby Jones was really good. Right? I'm telling you right now, you look at, let me take this even further. Okay, let's take this even further. The 2002 Spurs, any one of the six Bulls teams, any one of the Laker teams in the 80s, any one of the Celtics teams in the 80s, especially the 86 team, the 83 Sixers, any one of the Celtics teams in the 50s, 60s, and the 67 Philadelphia 76ers would take out the Miami Heat in five games. I would concede one game. Anything else, all those teams would beat Miami in five. I would give Miami a game in which they got lucky. That's how I look at it. Now, it's the way it is.
Then I got one more for you. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Shaq, Kobe, and Glenn Rice.
Glenn Rice doesn't help you out a lot.
The other two scored so many points, though.
And Kobe and Shaq. Well, you know, see, the problem is coming up with the third one. Right? That's a cut above Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? The guys I've all mentioned are all Hall of Famers. Glenn Rice will not be a Hall of Famer.
That's true.
Mo Cheeks will not be a Hall of Famer. See what I mean?
Although several All-Star teams and defensive players
yeah,
too.
But I'm saying though, I'm trying to get the cut above the three Hall of Famers: Chamberlain, West, and you know, Magic, Worthy, Kareem, Ginobili, Parker, and Duncan have a shot at it. Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, they're all Hall of Famers now. They're the cut above guys. And that's the combination of three. Irving, Malone, yeah, okay, but Reed, Monroe, and Frazier all are. I mean, they would beat the Heat in five games. That'd be it. And I'm conceding that they might get a game. They just were better. You know, you mentioned the Knicks, okay? Let's take the 73 Knicks. Okay? They brought Jerry Lucas off the bench and Dick Barnett. Okay? The 86 Celtics. Who was the sixth man in the 86 Celtics? Bill Walton. Who's the sixth man for the Heat? Okay. I mean, the 64 Celtics, you know, John Havlicek didn't start. He came off the bench. He was the sixth man. John Havlicek, okay, we're going to change the game. We're going to bring Havlicek in. Who are you bringing in? Oh, really? Good luck to you. Now, I think today's game has a lot of great things to it. I love the athleticism of today's game. I love how Durant plays and Westbrook plays, and really Harden plays some really good basketball. I voted James Harden first team All-American when he was at Arizona State. You know that?
Really?
I voted James Harden first team All-American when he was at Arizona State on my Wooden Award ballot. Okay? I mean, Wade, James, Bosch. I like Chalmers a lot, by the way. All really, really good players, and in some cases, great. Okay? And I like the way that I like the athleticism of the game and so forth, but I can't stand the promotion of the game, and I can't stand the lack of perspective in the game. I mean, they group three guys together and then keep trying to tell us that they are the best three combo ever. Really? I just named how many? And as I said, I feel very fortunate in doling out historical perspective in that I am the age I am. When you start telling me about quarterbacks, for example, I saw Bart Starr, and I saw Johnny Unitas, and I saw Bradshaw, and I saw Staubach. Okay, baseball, I saw Aaron, I saw Mays, I saw Rose when he played, Yastrzemski. Yeah. Saw all those guys. Saw Gibson pitch. Saw Marichal pitch. Saw Mickey Mantle. All the way to the current player. Hockey. Okay? I saw Gretzky. Saw Orr. Saw Lemieux. Saw Jean Béliveau. Saw Jacques Plante when he played goalie. All the way to the current crop that we have now. And the same thing in the NBA. For example, Joe Montana. Let me give you a Joe Montana example. Okay. Joe Montana, 4-0 in the Super Bowl, right? How many touchdown passes, how many interceptions did Joe Montana throw in the Super Bowl, Kevin? And I'm putting you on the spot, but I'm just trying to make
it. Yeah, I was going to say. One?
11 touchdown passes. No interceptions.
No interceptions. I knew it wasn't many. I didn't think it was zero.
Of the four Super Bowl wins that Montana engineered, how many did he have Jerry Rice?
Three.
Nope. Two.
Two. I knew it wasn't wasn't all of them.
Okay, that's mythology. The mythology is that he had John Taylor, Jerry Rice, and Roger Craig for all four Super Bowl wins. Do you know who his receivers and running backs were in his first Super Bowl win?
Oh, let's I only knew see Roger now. Craig. That's the only one I could name for you.
No, and he wasn't in the first Super Bowl.
Right.
It would his running backs for his first Super Bowl win were Ricky Patton and Earl Cooper.
Who?
Okay. His wideouts were Dwight Clark and Freddie Solomon.
Wasn't Ronaldo Nehemiah on one of those too?
He was on Super Bowl 19.
Yeah. Skeets. That was his nickname.
Yeah. Skeets Nehemiah. Then he had Roger Craig as his running back then. But he didn't get Jerry Rice till he had Super Bowls 23 and 24. Okay. Steve Young. Okay. Steve Young was a great quarterback with the 49ers. Runner, thrower. He had Rice. He had Taylor. I mean, he had so many. You should have seen him at Tampa Bay with no talent. Ooh, brutal. Long, hard road. Long, I mean. I saw him with the LA Express.
Got an email at stevejones@wkok.com. Elvin Hayes, Wes Unseld, and Bob Dainbridge. Now you have to think with Dainbridge.
No, that's what cancels it. I mean, I remember Hayes, Unseld, and Phil Chenier were really good together. How about that?
Okay.
Phil Chenier was really good. And I would take Unseld, Hayes, and Phil Chenier over these three guys. How about that?
All right, that's fair enough.
They were in back-to-back NBA finals. They won one and lost one to Seattle. Seattle, by the way, had Dennis Johnson and Jack Sikma. Johnny Johnson, Marvin Webster, right? And those three guys, Elvin Hayes, Wes Unseld, and Phil Chenier, I think were would be a threesome I'd look at and say I would pick those three basketball players for my team. I know we're running over a little bit here, so we'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show after this. And I do believe that the last 15 minutes probably have been the highlight of my career, and I believe we're going to submit it for awards. I really was vehement in everything I said. And, again, if you'd like to revisit it, it'll be on SteveJonesShow.com.
And I think you're completely wrong.
No, I was forceful in everything I said, and I will not take anything back from everything I said about the Phillies all the way to everything I said about Penn State. I just don't know. So,
all right, if you want to stand behind that.
No, I stand behind everything I said. And the audience, you've been listening the entire time. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. What are you laughing about? 1-800-795-9565 is our number to call. You know, and for many of you, you're saying, what did he say? It seems so mysterious. You know, you have to really use your imagination. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, Sunbury Motors Studio. We are here with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Gabe from the Williamsport Crosscutters was on in the last half hour. Spent about a half hour talking with him about the Cutters, the upcoming season, what they're doing to get ready for it, and also the issues that they face along the line in Williamsport. Next week, we're going to have on one of the play-by-play guys from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs and give Phillies fans a better read on the prospects that are at Triple A right now. We're going to do that. We also look like we have a line on Mike Emmerich down the road to talk about the NHL and also Penn State getting hockey. And also we're going to have one of the ESPN reporters on before the British Open. We have that for you as well. So we have plenty of things coming up. And next week, by the way, locally will be the New York Penn League opener for State College of Williamsport on Monday. And Tuesday, we will take the act over to the ballpark and talk about that and how they prepare for a season such as this one. But the openers in the New York Penn League will be on Monday night, and then Williamsport has that at Historic Bowman Field, and State College has the home opener on Tuesday night. So there's a lot going on, and summer baseball has really filled a gap. I mean, you're talking about an area here where many years ago, if you take this back to the 70s, especially, that a lot of people felt that it was football, then to spring football. Then the basketball program started getting going a little bit, and Lady Lion basketball was pretty good, and of course we know what Bucknell has done in basketball. So we started to get a better feel in the winter months, and wrestling, of course, has been traditionally strong, whether it's here, Bloomsburg, wherever. Wrestling, whether it's the Big Ten or the EWL, has been strong. But the void around here was always in the summertime. Williamsport has had minor league baseball for many years. Many years. As Gabe mentioned, Historic Bowman Field is the second oldest ballpark in the country. It was built in 1926. So you're talking about a ballpark that is going to be 82 years young. Or check that is going to be 86 years young this year. 86. They've done a great job with that facility, and they use it to their advantage. But here in State College, you didn't have anything. It wasn't until 1999 the Altoona Curve came into existence as a double-A franchise of the Pirates, which, of course, compete in the Eastern League with the Reading Phillies and also the Harrisburg Senators. But it was a void in the State College area. They didn't have anything until the Spikes came about. And the Spikes, Chuck Greenberg bought the New Jersey Cardinals, moved them here, Cardinals franchise. Irony is that they've had 14 major leaguers come out of State College now. 9 of the 14 are from the first team in 2006 when they were the Cardinals. In fact, the other night I was watching a Pirates Reds game, and they show Reds general manager Walt Jocketty. Well, Walt Jocketty at the time was the general manager of the Cardinals, and he was here in State College all the time. They were constantly looking at people. Very diligent group. Jim Riggleman, who eventually had his troubles with the Nationals when he left that job. But Riggleman was, I'd had him on all the time. He was always sitting in the broadcast booth with me. You like to hang out there. So it's filled that void. And sports-wise, we have a full year menu around us now. High school football on Friday nights. Penn State football on Saturdays. NFL on Sundays. If you're an Eagles fan or whatever your team has to be, the Redskins, Eagles, whatever, Steelers. We have that on Sunday. And we get through the fall like that, which, you know, and of course the Major League Baseball with the Phillies, Pirates, so forth, Yankees. You know, I know we need to do more Yankee talk on this show because I know there are a lot of Yankee fans in our listening area. But, you know, in the college realm, whether it happens to be Penn State now, because and Patrick Chambers is going to make them a heavy talk topic, or the great job they're doing at Bucknell, and they're going to start a three-game series with State College, Bryce Jordan Center 2012, Bryce Jordan Center 2013, but in Lewisburg in 14, about that one, right? And what they do. And then we get to the spring, you know, basketball now to some of the high school sports, maybe some Penn State baseball. But in the summertime, State College is going to average about 4,000 a game. It's not bad. They're different markets, so different items, different things. But it does fill that void, and it gives the area fans something fun. Now, obviously, there are other things going on in the summertime that certainly draw other interests. For example, I know the Bellefonte, for example. They're going to have the cruise this weekend, the 4th of July fireworks outside Beaver Stadium, 4th Fest. And, of course, the events on the river that we have in our area here, which will be a lot of fun. I know Sean Carey's going to be broadcasting out there. So we have a lot of other things to do, but there are so many people that love sports and the socialization part of it. That's why these minor league teams do a great job of filling that void of it's a sport, it's fun, but there's a lot of socialization that goes on at these ball games.
Well, if you think about it, too, I mean, we're not that far away from, with the exception of Scranton, now the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Yankees being on the road this year.
Yeah, this year.
You have the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, not that far of a trip from this area. It's still closer than going to Philly. You have Reading. There's Harrisburg. As you said, Altoona State College, Williamsport, there's a lot of minor league baseball and good minor league baseball that's only a couple of hours away and a lot cheaper than going to a major league ballpark 2.5 to 3 hours away.
Yeah, no question about it. And I would love to see the New York Penn League get one more Pennsylvania team in here. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'd like to see it happen. I mean, I think there are other areas they could support it. Lancaster, York, maybe. As possibilities?
Sunbury had a baseball team many years ago, and unfortunately, I don't know if they'd have the spot for it again. And, of course, that might run into Williamsport a little bit and some of their territory, as you were mentioning earlier with Gabe and how, you know, they were affected by State College's entry.
Well, you know, but you have to have the ballpark down to do it,
right,
Kev.
And that's what's not here, right.
Right, and you have to have the facility to do it. And I can tell you, like the New York Penn League, I can tell you right away that Aberdeen, where the Ripkins own it, have a great facility. Mahoning Valley, the Indians affiliate, just over the line in Young, we know what State College has. Okay, Staten Island has a really nice facility. And not only that, the view of all views. It's unbelievable, Kev. You look over the left field wall, you see the Statue of Liberty. You look over the right field wall, you see the Brooklyn Bridge and the Staten Island Ferry.
Wow.
You look over the center field wall, and you see the southern tip of Manhattan. And now you're seeing the World Trade Center go back up. And they light it up at night.
Talk about picturesque camera view there for television.
It is. And then you go to the Mets affiliate, the Brooklyn Cyclones, They are located. Nathan's Hot Dogs is over left field. The Atlantic Ocean is over right field. And the Cyclone Park is over center field, and it's also the landing pattern for Kennedy International. It's phenomenal. It is phenomenal.
And they draw, what, 20-some thousand at those games? I mean, the numbers are amazing. I thought I saw a number of 20.
No, the park, they seat 9.
And that must have been like a year number then or something. I don't know. I had seen a really high number for Brooklyn, and I was amazed.
Right. And Brooklyn, they draw well, by the way. They're number one in the New York Penn League in attendance. Lowell has a really nice park, the Lasher Park. They're an affiliate of the Red Sox. The Tigers affiliate, Norwich, Connecticut, beautiful double-A facility. It turns out the double-A team left and went to Richmond, so they filled it with the New York Penn League team. Then you have Vermont, which is a mediocre, it's an old place, okay? Auburn's an old place. Batavia's an old place. Jamestown's an old place. The only place I have not been to in the New York Penn League is Troy, New York, to Bruno Stadium. It's the only place I haven't been. And I've been told that that is a very nice place. It's the only one I haven't been to. But you have beautiful parks and a great experience, and it's inexpensive, and you do end up seeing... I think you do see future major leaguers. We talk about Savory, Schwimmer, but it's also guys from other teams. I mean, Josh Hamilton came here with Hudson Valley. That's why I left out Hudson Valley. Well, he came here with Hudson Valley, the Ray, when he was with the Rays. Josh Hamilton played here. It was a make or break point in his career. But it is a fun experience. And we really live in a great area, don't we? I mean, well, we have access to so much. And I've been to so many areas. We live in a great area, beautiful area. Remember we were standing up on the first tee at Susquehanna Valley Country Club?
Oh, yeah. That is a great view.
And you sit there and you say to yourself, this is incredible. And yet we're an hour away from a 108,000-seat stadium. We're an hour away from a 15,000-seat arena. We're an hour away from minor league baseball. We're 30 minutes away from another minor league baseball team. We're minutes away from Division I basketball over at Bucknell. I mean, we live in a great area, beautiful area, where we have a rush minute. And there's so many things. People have always asked me, why haven't you left? And, of course, now I'm hooked with Kevin. I mean, I'm never going to leave.
There's a reason alone.
I mean, really, and a reason to live. But people have asked me, why have you stayed? Because you have access to major league stuff, right? While living in a setting like this and around people like this. We went to the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. It was an incredible experience dealing with the great people from Purdy, dealing with the great people from the YMCA, people who cared. Remember how much we talked about the Sunbury Fire Company and their raffle with the Mustang raffle?
Sure.
I mean, that's the essence of, community. We're a real community in our area. It separates us from so many places. I mean, that's why I feel all the time that we're so lucky to live here in a place like this. Very fortunate. So, and we get to work with Sarah Bartlett. We're working our way to the top of the hour, CBS News, followed by the incomparable Sarah Bartlett. They'll get everyone up to date with the news block coming up on everything happening across the country and locally.